As we remain standing, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I was raised by a mother who is crazy about Christmas. For the most part, she's a very classy lady, with this one seasonal exception. When she abandons all pretense at good taste, she dangles plastic red icicles from the chandeliers and those Michael's little birds, you know, the ones that you can, on every surface, she collects manger scenes. During my growing up years, it was all about the Christmas clutter. And I love Christmas too. I don't know what your traditional Christmas meals are, but after the 4 o'clock service, we had tortiere. And right now, my husband is probably trying to get our sugared up children off to bed after they've hung up their stockings. And after tonight's service, when I come home, we'll open a bottle of red. Mike will start wrapping his Christmas gifts while I watch. I just love the tastes and the sights and the smells and the traditions of this time of year. But of course, as we all know, Christmas doesn't always unroll this way. A colleague tells the story of one difficult Christmas Eve that happened really early in her ministry. It was one of those years when Christmas Eve fell on a Sunday. And after the Christmas Day, the morning services at church, as she went home to the rectory, the phone was ringing. Glenn, a longtime member of the parish, was dying. Would she come? When Pastor Janet arrived in Glenn's room in the nursing home, she found Edna, his wife, sitting in the semi-darkness, keeping vigil over her husband's labored breathing. Janet sat down beside Edna, and they prayed, and then they just sat quietly, keeping vigil, until the room was silent. They stayed there for a time, and then eventually Janet drove Edna home and stayed with her until a family friend could come and be with her. There were no signs of Christmas in Edna's apartment. While the rest of the world was getting ready for Christmas festivities, Edna was preparing for loss. When my colleague got home, before she headed back to church for the evening Christmas Eve services, she called her mom. She needed to talk about her day and what had just happened. And there must have been an edge of sadness to her voice, a sense that this is not what Christmas is for. Because after she had spoken, her mom said, "But Janet, don't you think this is exactly what Christmas Eve is for?" Of course, Christmas Eve is for family and friends. It's for time to slow down and relax and be merry, to watch a Christmas special and drink a mug of hot apple cider. Christmas is for good tidings of great joy. And Christmas is also for the grieving widow. It's also for the stressed out single mom trying to pay the bills. It's also for the fighting couple that's trying to keep their problems from spilling over and spoiling their children's Christmas joy. It's for the young man who is weary, the woman who is lonely, the old man who feels forgotten. It's for the child who is afraid. Christmas is for that too. In fact, I think that Christmas is especially for the person who is hoping and wondering and fearing. As we listened again tonight, as Warren read for us the story of that first Christmas Eve, I remember that God's own son was not born to a life of merry ease. He was born at a troubled time in history, although honestly, every time in history seems troubled in some way. He was born to a subjugated people, to working class parents who were on their own in a strange city and who would very soon have to leave again, fleeing for their lives because a madman ordered the massacre of all the baby boys in town. The child of Christmas, Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us. So for those of us who follow him, it should come as no surprise when Jesus continues to show up in places where people are hurting and in trouble, where hope is sorely needed and peace gladly received. The vicar of Baghdad, he's an Anglican named Andrew White, he talks about the kind of hope that he sees Jesus offering to people in his neighborhood. Just a few weeks ago, he was visiting an Iraqi Christmas party that was happening at a refugee camp in Jordan. And he asked the children there, he said, "What do you most want for Christmas?" And apparently the children smiled at him, and this is what they said: "We want the world to know Jesus loves us." In their world where they have lost everything, Jesus offers them hope that sustains them in unimaginable circumstances. Friends, Christmas is indeed for joy. It's for all the seasonal trimmings. It's for family and friends and relaxation. And what grounds all those trimmings and gives them meaning is something ancient and deep and reliable. It's the goodness of God, a God who is with you and for you, revealed in the birth of a promised child. Jesus, who comes to give life and meaning to those whose hearts desire. So no matter where you're coming from this night, from a place of sadness or gladness, a place of calm or chaos, I'm guessing it's chaos if you have kids back at home, a place of hope or despair, God welcomes you here. Christmas is for you. May you taste of hope and peace this time, in our time together, as we joyfully celebrate and sing and proclaim the coming of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. Merry Christmas, everyone.